On this episode of The Commercial Break.
So I thought to myself, Brian, you are a man of the people. You are a hero to many.
Yes,
and
you are.
A lover of all. You have an opportunity to step in here and
save the day.
Save the day. Mm-hmm. So I tapped the guy next to me, the pilot, and I said, can you take my phone and record this? And then I got to make an Instagram post.
Right.
So I said, listen, I understand, you want to get down to Atlanta.
Yeah.
If this flight takes off, I would be willing to give you my ticket if they allow it. Like, I'll swap tickets with you. I'll wait until tomorrow. I can figure it out. And she looks at me and she goes, I don't need your sympathy. And I was like,
Oh.
I go,
stop recording.
Yeah, stop recording. 1 minute. Hold on. We got to change the answer there. Yeah.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
5:30.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens. Welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of the show, Chris Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe and the streaming universe. How are you? Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. Lots to talk about today. I just got back from a 39-hour adventure to and fro New York.
I'll tell
you what, my luck continues. Here's the problem. I immediately should have known that the universe karmatically always finds balance. There's always
That's
balance
true.
In the universe.
Very true.
And I took my normal flight to New York, as I do on Sunday nights.
Gate 88.
Gate 88. That's right, Chrissy. That's gate 88 at LaGuardia. If you know, you know. I can't in my YKTT. That girl still does that on Instagram, by the
she
way.
Does.
Dumbest fucking shit I've ever seen in my entire life. But I have to say, when the whole drama happened with Venezuela and the earthquake, that girl, who I hate watch on Instagram,
yeah.
as the universe always does, finds karmatic balance, she wrote me a very sweet note wishing that everything was okay and telling me that she had donated some money to
nice.
One of the causes I had asked for money for. So I hate her a little less. A little less. A little less. Okay, so I take my trip to New York, Gate 88, from Atlanta to LaGuardia. There you go. Guess what? On time. Early, in fact. Early. The flight was early when it landed. I was like, happy doodah. This is great.
Yeah, getting there is not the problem.
Getting out. So New York experiences some kind of nor'easter bullshit or whatever. It rains. I mean, it was pissing rain. This is Tuesday night. Starting at like 6 o'clock at night, it starts pissing rain.
Yeah.
Well, rain isn't a problem. Planes take off and rain all the time. That's not the problem. The problem is the thunderstorms, and they were all up and down the East Coast.
I saw that on the radar. Yeah, it was crazy.
It was insane. One line of thunderstorms all the way up and down the East Coast, from New York to Atlanta, all rain. And so I knew. I already knew. I didn't order my Uber. I sat in the. I got my hotel room for an extra night. I said, worst comes to worst, I get 3 or 4 hours in the hotel room watching some TV, and I'll be a little late. My flight supposed to start boarding at 7:50 at night to take off at 8:30. I would be home by 11 o'clock. Well, I already knew, so I wasn't pissed when Delta informed me that the flight was, in fact, an hour delayed. Okay. Mm-hmm. I check and see where the plane is. You know, where's your plane? The plane is back in Atlanta, and it hasn't taken off yet to come to New York. So it's got a truck full of people. You know, it's loaded, ready to bear.
Yep.
And those poor people are sitting in Atlanta waiting for their plane to take off. 5 hours later, I got notified at like 4:30 my flight was going to be late. 5 hours later, so we're talking like 9:30 at night, the plane takes off. It's 10:15, excuse me. The plane takes off from Atlanta to get to LaGuardia. Our flight now leaving at 1:10 a.m. in the morning to get home at 3:30. Okay, at least I'll get home.
Yes.
So I wait until 11 o'clock at night. I call the Uber. I get in. I get to LaGuardia about midnight. Flight's supposed to start boarding at 12:45. No, absolutely no one in security. However, there are people sleeping all over LaGuardia.
Ooh.
Like, there's just hundreds of people just camped out in LaGuardia.
Not a good sign.
I should have known at that moment just to turn around. I could see it through the glass. I probably should have told the Uber driver,
right,
take me back
on.
To the fucking hotel. But I will tell you what, man. I get down to gate 88, and there are just people. Every single gate has people sitting in it. And I'm watching as the board goes, canceled, 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 canceled. And our flight's still taking off. But now I'm, as I do, because I'm a pilot. I don't know if you know this. If you listen to the commercial break, then you'll understand.
I've flown twice.
But to be fair to me, I did land and take off those two times without killing me or the instructor. Yeah. So there you go. Well, it was the instructor who told me to take off and land. I wouldn't have done that without instruction. So I look on my airplane app and I see that not only are planes not taking off from LaGuardia, they're not taking off from JFK and they're not taking off from Newark. Everything is getting canceled. Cancel. In like a 45-minute time period, I just watch hundreds of flights get canceled. And I was like, but we're still taking off.
Right.
I just had this glimmer of hope.
You're telling me there's a chance.
I'm telling you there's a chance. I told Astrid, 50-50 chance, but I'm feeling good about it. I'm 51-49. I'm feeling good. So 12:45 rolls around. I go to the gate. I don't like to sit at the gate, like with all the crowds, like, you know, to watch people. It irritates
too.
The shit out of me to watch people start lining up.
It irritates
the fuck out of me. Sit your goddamn ass down, especially when you're in zone number 7 and you're standing right in front of the gate.
Yes.
Your bag's not going to fit. It doesn't matter. Check it, please. God damn it. So I'm standing there and I'm in the gate. Is very close to the Delta customer service counter. And as I'm standing there at 12:45, I'm watching as the Delta customer service counter, the line goes from 5 people to about 105 people.
Oh, God.
So imagine this. Delta customer service, a gate here, Delta customer service here, and I'm watching as people start congregating at the little desk at our gate. All these Delta employees, including 2 pilots. The plane has landed. People are exiting the plane. So I'm feeling good about
this.
I'm like, they know what they're talking about. They're going to get us out. It's not going to be 110. It'll probably be closer to 130, but okay. I think it's going to happen. This snarky little shit gets on. And I love Delta. I will always love Delta. And unless they treat me like Spirit did. I'm always going to love them. But this was probably some of the worst customer service, customer interaction, customer management I have ever seen an airline do. This snarky little shit gets on the microphone.
Yeah, the recording.
To all my peoples going to Chicago's.
And everyone at the gate is like, huh?
Right, yeah, Chicago.
To all my peoples going to Chicago's, I'm going to tell you right now, we canceled the flight. And that's the bad news. But the worst news is I ain't got no flights until Saturday. Not through Atlanta, not through Detroit, not through Houston.
Saturday? I mean, it's Tuesday, right?
Chrissy,
well, technically Wednesday because it's over midnight. But
that's right. You want to fly through Japan? I ain't going to get you there till Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. It's going to be a long time. Additionally, and here's the even worse news. We've given out thousands of hotel rooms already. We ain't got no more left. So go ahead and make your own appointment to go to a hotel and save your receipts. And you can hope to get, I guess, upload them through Delta or something. Call them. So y'all want to stand there for another 4. You've been here all day. You want to stand here more hours? That's fine. I'll tell you the same thing. You ain't getting out tonight. You ain't getting out tomorrow. You ain't getting out on Friday. I'm just telling you that right now.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going to let somebody else deal with the Atlanta people. Okay.
And everyone's like, what the fuck just happened?
Well, yeah, because isn't it just a direct flight from New York to Atlanta?
Of course it is.
How is there Chicago?
Well, no. That's what everyone was confused about.
Right.
So now there is a Delta pilot that is standing next to me. He's not flying. He's trying to get on the flight, right? Because Atlanta's home base. Mm-hmm. He's trying to go the fuck home.
Right.
So he looks at me and he's like, there's a couple people standing around me. He looks at me and he goes, I don't know what that just was. And I'm like, I'm not sure either. Is he talking about Atlanta or Chicago? He goes, I think he's talking to the people that just came in line. And he's like, but that was just not handled well. And I was like, absolutely not. Like, have a little empathy. You're getting paid. We're not.
Yeah,
we paid
true.
You. Okay. All right. Fair enough. We figure out that he's talking to the people in this customer service line. He's just trying to make one big announcement, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Whatever. Next, the Delta pilot that's standing behind him, congregating behind the desk, gets on. A little more empathy.
Hey, everybody. Listen, we just came back in from Atlanta. We're one of the few flights that got to land tonight. I think we could probably find a break in the weather, but I'm going to give you a bit of bad news. I don't know that we're going to be taking off tonight because we are down one flight attendant. And that flight attendant, I don't think is going to be showing up. So her flight was canceled. She's not going to be showing up. So we're desperately trying to find another flight attendant.
And if we can do that in the next 40 minutes and she can get to the gate in 40 minutes, then we can fly tonight. If not, we're going to time out and it's illegal for us to fly.
Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, ah.
He's like, listen, little bit of hope. We're trying. We're calling everybody we know. And I look over at the pilot and I go, can't you be a flight attendant? For that? Yeah. He's like, he goes, dude, if I could, I would. Yeah. For sure. I just want to get home too.
Yeah.
10 minutes. So now everyone's on a phone. Everyone's congregating. Everyone's chatting. Everyone's in a tizzy. The whole place is in a tizzy. We're 5 hours late already. Yeah, we're tired. We want to go home. Yeah. Everyone wants to go. People are crying. You know, it's a whole fucking situation. And I felt bad. So two things. One, I just think it was like poorly handled, right? It just was poorly handled. Mm-hmm. We don't need to know the minutia. You just need to say to us that the flight is canceled. That you know that lady's not showing up in 40 minutes. It's fucking pissing rain. Where's she coming from? Where's the magic flight attendant coming from? Even if she's coming from downtown Manhattan, she ain't getting here in 40 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. So there is a pregnant lady, a couple of people next to me, and she is just pissing.
Sweating.
She's huge. She's sweating. She's crying. She's huge. She's probably 8-9 months pregnant. I don't know. Can you be 9 months pregnant? I think you'd be 9 months pregnant. She's 8 months pregnant.
Okay.
And she is telling the person standing next to her, this older lady, I just need to get to somewhere where I can eventually get back home, even if that's Atlanta, like just any flight, then I can drive home. I don't know where she was going. So I thought to myself, Brian, you are a man of the people. You are a hero to many,
yes,
and a lover of all. You have an opportunity to step in here and
save the day.
Save the day. Mm-hmm. So I tapped the guy next to me, the pilot, and I said, can you take my phone and record this? And then I got to make an Instagram post.
Right.
So I said, listen, I understand. You want to get down to Atlanta.
Yeah.
If this flight takes off, I would be willing to give you my ticket if they allow it. Like I'll swap tickets with you. I'll wait until tomorrow. I can figure it out. And she looks at me and she goes, I don't need your sympathy. And I was like,
Oh,
well, I go,
stop recording.
Yeah. Stop recording. 1 minute. Hold on. We got to change the answer there.
Yeah.
Cut, edit. Yeah. Use some edits. I go, I'm not trying to give you sympathy. I'm trying to help you. I understand you want to get down to Atlanta tonight.
Yeah.
And she looks at me and she goes, you just don't understand. And I was like, wow. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm taking my ticket.
Never mind.
Yeah, never mind. Offer rescinded.
Yes.
Bitch. And I feel bad for your kid. No, whatever. She probably was in a bad mood. Everyone's in a bad mood. All right. Okay. So 10 minutes goes by and another snarky fucking gate agent.
All right, I'm just going to tell y'all right now, it ain't going to happen. It ain't no flight attendant going to show up tonight. So we're gonna have to go ahead and cancel this flight. It may not say canceled on your app yet, but it's going to be canceled. And so you heard the other man. There ain't no hotel rooms. We ain't got no flights out. And if you're trying to get to Atlanta, it will be Saturday before we have additional seats available on any flights.
And everyone was like, ah! The whole place went crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, cats were flying in the air. People were beating each other up. Children were thrown out the window. Yeah, it was carnage. It was just like craziness. I did not even miss a beat. As an experienced traveler, probably, I guess you would probably consider me like an Anthony Bourdain type, right? An experienced traveler that navigates through the world with ease and grace.
Yeah.
I cussed loudly, fuck! And then I got on the phone immediately. I'm like, okay. Not getting out of not getting out of LaGuardia. Let me see if I can get out of JFK. Nope, no, none available till Saturday.
Nothing.
Newark. Nope, none available till Saturday. Washington, D.C., Dulles. Nope, none available till Friday. And those were like $3,000 tickets. And I'm like, no, I that's not going to happen. And then I try BWI and I see a few tickets.
Oh,
but I got
to
get.
BWI, I used to fly into there.
Yeah. But I got to get down to BWI.
Yeah.
So I could I can take the Acela. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I see this ticket and I put it in my queue, right? Now I have to get down to BWI. So now I can see everybody starting to hum and buzz. Everyone's going to rent a car, right? So I'm like, nope, let me rent a car first.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get ahead, everybody. Let me be that asshole. Let me take a car from that pregnant lady.
Yeah.
Chrissy, not a fucking car available in the entire city of New York. Until Thursday. So this is a whole day later. I just can't even do it.
God.
So I start scanning other places in New York where I can get a car. And I find one car available at Newark, New Jersey Airport.
God.
And it's 24 hours, so I can pick it up now.
Okay.
It's 1 in the morning. And I'm going to now get in an Uber and go to Newark, New Jersey, which is what I did. A 45-minute drive to Newark. I have to go back through the city. I probably just could have stopped at the hotel and stayed for the night. I don't know what I was thinking, but I just, now I'm just like on a mission to get home.
To get out of there. Yeah,
I got things to do. We got to record. I have things to do. I just want to get the fuck out of there. I don't want to stay until Saturday because then I have to fly again on Sunday.
Well, yeah, that's Saturday. The whole Saturday thing is crazy to me.
It was insane, but it was true because I looked and it would every time I would put in the dates, it's like none available. But if your dates are flexible, we can get you out on Saturday. So I said, you know what? Screw it. I rent a car for an enormous amount of money. I mean, it's just like a ridiculous amount of money, but it's better than paying $4,000 to get out of Dulles. And I get in the car. I drive all the way over there. There's only one person sitting in the entire rent-a-car, huge four-story rent-a-car building Newark, New Jersey. There's one customer service rep. And there, when I got there, there was two people in front of me. When I left, there was 15 people behind me.
Okay.
And the one dude in front of me was looking for a car. He hadn't rented one. He was looking for one. And she was like, sorry, we are literally all out of cars. Yeah. If you don't have a reservation, I can't give you one. And I watched him go pick up the phone at each of those cars, like Hertz, Enterprise, and I just watched him dejected. There was nothing available. So I get to the counter. I said, hey, you know, and she's like, are you coming from Newark or are you coming from a different airport? And I said, I'm coming from LaGuardia. Why are you asking? She goes, and I'm just taking an informal poll.
Right.
She's like, we've had people from all over the New York area renting cars tonight. No one can get out of New York. And I'm like, yeah, no, I hear you. And she's like, well, I don't have many choices of cars. And I go, okay, what is it? And she goes, well, I have a minivan or a Bronco. I'm like, give me the Bronco.
The blue Bronco.
Bright,
yes.
Blue, blueberry Bronco. Huge car. Truck, really. Yeah. It's just like a huge monstrous truck.
Yes.
And I took it, and at 1:30 in the morning, I got on the road, and I started driving the 13 and a half hours that it takes to get down to Atlanta. I initially booked a ticket for 5:40 a.m. out of BWI, but by the time I got to BWI, it was 4:30 in the morning. The plane was already boarding, and the car company that I'd rented from was not open till 7 a.m. So I could have dropped at night drop, but I didn't tell them I was dropping at night drop there. So when I called customer service, they said, if you drop it off at a different location than you have chosen, you have to check in with somebody. Mm-hmm. You can't just drop it off with your key, with the keys. And I'm like, motherfucker. So I'm fucked. So I canceled that ticket too. And I just kept going, man.
Yeah.
It's 4 a.m., 4:30 a.m. going past Washington, D.C., 6:30 a.m. past Charlotte. I mean, I just kept driving. I only stopped once to take a little snip-snap, a little cat nap.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a little bump.
I wish. Yeah, that's probably what I should have done. Honestly, I wish I had a drug dealer on the way. Like, who was that?
D.
Yeah, D. Can you meet me in Charlotte? He probably would have said yes.
Yes.
But I would have been charged a lot of money, and he would have shown up 3 days after I asked him to come. D was never once on time. You know who's not on time? Delta. You know who else is not on time? D.
D
and D. They're never on time. Never. D knew that I would wait as long as goddamn needed.
Oh, yeah.
He did not care. I was the last on his list. Brian will wait. I always could wait. I always waited. If I told D to be there at 6 p.m., it was like midnight. I mean, you know, we called him a few times.
Right.
It was so terrible customer service. But nice guy.
But, yeah. And who are you going to put in the complaint?
Yeah, that's right.
There's no HR.
Yeah, party. Call the police. Go ahead.
So
I stopped one time a little north of Charlotte, a little south of Charlotte for a little nap. I think I slept maybe 30, 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I made it in 14 hours and 31 minutes. And that's after I stopped at the pharmacy to pick up some medication that I had on hold. And I made it here by 4:30 in the afternoon. Absolutely wasted. I mean, just wasted.
Exhausted.
Yeah, Astrid said I didn't look good. She said my eyes didn't look good.
Well,
they were probably Cheshire cats.
Yeah, after all of that.
I know. So.
Right. You made it, though.
I got home. Mm-hmm. Kids ran out to say hello. Best thing in the world. Best thing in the world to see those kids screaming my name like that. Daddy!
I know.
And they loved the car, so I popped the top off the Bronco. Took him on a ride, got some fast food, came home, showered, shaved, and I
out.
Mm-hmm. 8 p.m. It's like a new adult record for me.
Yeah.
8 p.m., when I'm not jet lagged, when I haven't been traveling one to one country or the other, 8 p.m. is the earliest I've been to bed in a long time. And I'll tell you what, Chrissy, I slept right till 10 a.m. this morning. I only woke up twice, once to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, peeing all that water. And you know what I did? I talked to you yesterday when I was on my way. Yeah. I made the choice not to drink a lot of coffee on the way down. And I think that was the right choice. Mm-hmm. My body clock reset at some point, like 9 o'clock in the morning. It reset. And while I was definitely tired and definitely feeling strung out, I didn't feel as bad as if I had had the coffee.
Yeah, because then you're like on that weird buzz.
Yeah. It's your body's tired, so your eyes still feel heavy, but your brain is like all mush. Mm-hmm. You can't think. And then also, I already have a road rage problem. I don't need to add additional irritation into it when I'm driving 90 miles per hour down the highway. Astrid was so pissed that I rented that car. She was so pissed. We were fighting at 2 in the morning. We were fighting at 1 in the morning while I'm in the Uber. The Uber guy must have thought I was a real asshole. I'm like, Astrid, you're not here. You don't understand. You're there. I think Astrid sometimes has.
Did she want you to stay?
She wanted me to do anything but drive a car. Yeah, she was I found a ticket for you in Charlotte. I found a ticket for you in Dulles. Uh-huh. I found a ticket for you on the train. I found there's a hotel. You can do anything but drive, because if you're driving, I'm not sleeping.
Yeah.
And if I'm not sleeping, then I'm pissed off too. And I'm like, babe, just go to sleep. I'm fine. I'm an adult. I'll handle it. But the problem is that Astrid hates my driving. She hates it. Yeah.
She's experienced.
Yeah. She hates it. She thinks I drive too fast, too aggressively. And
hence your speeding tickets.
Yeah, I do have a lot of speeding tickets, to be fair to her, too. Two super speeder tickets in like a month. Yeah. But, I also felt in the moment that there's no way I'm staying in New York till Saturday.
Yeah.
I didn't make the BWI flight. I don't want to go. As tired as I was, what was worse to me than the next 6 hours or 7 hours or 8 hours on the road was another 4 hours in an airport. That part, like going through security, waiting for the plane, getting on the plane, all of it seemed like a big irritation to me.
Yeah, we were just already on the road and just get there.
I was just going.
What did you listen to?
I listened to a bunch of stuff. Okay. I listened to a documentary about the West Bank in Israel. I listened to Louis Theroux do a documentary about the hospitals that handle alcoholics in the UK. Super fascinating.
Okay.
I listened to the Regime Change audiobook, which is the new book by Maggie Haberman from the New York Times about the Donald Trump presidency so far.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Fascinating, palace intrigue kind of book. It's really good.
You weren't getting back into your live?
I didn't listen to music because I don't know why, but it didn't strike me. I felt like the talking was better than the music. I just wasn't in a music mood. I just put it that way. But what I also did listen to is a book called The Righteous Mind that was recommended to me by Jose. recommended to me by one of my boyfriends, Jose.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like we have a little book club going on because we shared books with each other. One book with each other. But, whatever. We have a little book club going.
We've got a little seed of
a book club. A little seed of a book club. Mm-hmm. Just me and Jose sharing one book with each other. And this Righteous Mind is a wild fucking book, man. I'm only like 4 chapters into it. It's wild. You want me to share some with you? Okay. All right. Let's take a short break. And then we'll be back.
Let me do something Brian has never done. Be brief. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break. Text or call us 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Visit our website, tcbpodcast.com, for all the audio, video, and your free sticker. Then watch all the videos at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. And finally, share the show. It's the best gift you could give a few aging podcasters. See, Brian? That really wasn't that difficult now, was it? You're welcome.
Best to you, best to you, best to you, best to you.
Little synthesizer.
Yeah. You know what I'm getting into? Snarky Puppy.
Snarky Puppy.
Do you know Snarky Puppy? Like the jazz fusion 14-piece band that does these weird, wild compilations with, and they do it with all kind of artists, by the way. Usually those artists are like not well-known mainstream artists, but they've done some. And they have a live album that is just wild. It's like, it's experimental, it's jazz fusion, it's not for everybody, but there's a couple songs in there, like 17 minutes long. They are so beautiful. And I just love, I'm getting into Snarky Puppy.
Okay, go.
There you go.
Go
all right.
Get snark. Get your snark on.
Yeah, there's ever been a band that's good for Brian, it's Snarky Puppy. All right, so The Righteous Mind. The morality of Jesus and religion, or Jesus and politics, religion and politics is essentially like the tagline. Righteous Mind is the name. Righteous Mind is by a theologist and a philosopher and a scientist, a guy that's very well versed in the science of morality and how we shape morality and how morality shapes religion and politics. And it's a very fascinating look inside of the human mind. And while I'm just getting into the meat and potatoes of the book, I'll share with you something that I found very wild about this particular book. It gives scenarios and it asks that you, the reader or the listener, because, you know, reading is listening for me.
Yes.
The reader, the listener, it asks you to judge some scenarios, or how would you judge those scenarios? And these scenarios are absolutely insane. You ready?
Yeah,
for
give
one
me
of
example.
Them. All right. Child dies in an accidental drowning. Terrible situation. Terrible situation. However, the family is part of a kind of subset of humans who believe that human meat is okay for consumption and should not be wasted.
What?
So the child is then cooked and eaten.
What?
You say crazy,
yeah.
Right? Crazy. All right. Is that right or wrong morally?
I mean,
give me the answer if I want to hear it. Your answer, unabashed, unfiltered.
Morally, I mean,
is it morally wrong
it.
To do that? You wouldn't do it. That's
no.
right. And that is the answer most people will give. I wouldn't do it, but I guess if somebody else is part of a culture where that is acceptable, it's not for me, but sure, okay. I mean, it's terrible. I think it's terrible.
Yeah.
But I would never do that, never even think
no.
to do that. Okay, all right. And here's another example.
I think that's illegal, too.
It's certainly illegal in the United States. By the way, I'm not encouraging anyone to do this. These are just pretend
yeah.
things, guys.
Scenarios.
Like, okay, let's be clear about this. These are pretend scenarios. No one actually did this. He's not citing anything. He's a moralist, and he's asking you to judge these. And you and I say the exact same thing that 90% of people say, which is not for me. However, I guess there are different strokes for different folks out there in the world. It's terrible, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. The next scenario that is just wild. Man goes to the store and buys a whole chicken that he wants to have for dinner tonight. However, before he cooks his meal, he has sex with the chicken and then cleans it and cooks it and eats it.
Oh, God.
Sex with a dead chicken. Okay. Right or wrong or indifferent.
Was the head on or not?
I don't know. Good question. Yes, you're right. Good question. The head was on, totally unacceptable.
Yeah.
Head off? Well, at least the chicken didn't
just
see
the
it.
Frozen,
yeah.
You know,
the frozen,
body.
Yeah. A frozen body? What? Who hasn't fucked a chicken before? All right. Wild scenario, right? Wild scenario. But the guy did it in his house, by himself, all alone. Not my best friend, that's for sure. Not a dude I'm having dinner with.
No.
I don't want to take the invite for dinner.
No.
However, okay, guess he didn't hurt anybody. I mean, he's not hurting anybody, I suppose, right?
Yeah.
That also is illegal in the United States, I think, that necrophilia or bestiality. But, okay, all right, whatever. Whatever floats your boat, dude. I don't want to be friends with you, but okay. You know, at least you're not harming any other humans, I guess. So these are like the kind of questions that he asks, and then he gets to the bottom of what morality really is. And morality, for most people, is the following, and they learn this very young, that morality is harm to other people. We give the answer that almost everybody gives, which is, I guess if he's not hurting anybody, I guess if they haven't harmed anybody, I guess if that's their way of thinking or their way, we wouldn't want to be friends with them. That wouldn't be something we would do. But is it morally wrong? Probably not, right? Probably not morally wrong. However, if you ask a child whether or not running over and punching somebody is morally wrong, just punching somebody out of the blue, just running over to your classmate and punching them in the face, they would say it is morally wrong. because I'm hurting somebody else. I'm harming somebody else. Mm-hmm. And that is the basis usually of most morality. Hmm. Do unto others, right? Mm-hmm. The sure. golden rule
yeah.
is really what it boils down to. Now, I haven't listened to the rest of the book, so I don't get to the, I haven't gotten to the conclusions yet. I'll keep you posted. But this is kind of where we're at right now. And it is interesting because morality, our emotions essentially lead our morality, right? It's and our everyone emotes differently. He likens our emotions to an elephant and our brain to somebody riding the elephant. The elephant reacts and we desperately try and pull the elephant back, right? We desperately try and control the elephant, but the elephant leads the charge. The elephant is an elephant. It's not, it probably is not going to do what we ask it to do. And that is our emotions. Mm. And so he's sharing, I think the where we're going to go with this is he's sharing that emotions oftentimes are swapped out for morality, and that's not real. That's just something that we are feeling, and our emotions are based on a complex series of inputs for us as people from nature and nurture, and it's different from morality. And that really the bottom line is do unto others, mm-hmm. do no harm, essentially, right?
Yes.
Good. All right. Okay. Good. All right. There we go. That's my book.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, but I've swapped between Righteous Mind and Regime Change, which mm-hmm. I also think is a very, Jesus Christ, Mom.
Yeah, I know.
My mom just keeps on ringing and ringing and ringing, and I can guarantee you it's nothing important. I can guarantee you it's nothing important.
Yeah.
Love you, Mom.
Hi, Brian. It's your mom. I just wanted to check in and see how you are.
She called me at like 4 in the morning yesterday. Like, I'm on the road, 4 or 5 in the morning. And I'm like, hey. And she's like, oh, I got so worried. Everything was okay. I saw the rain in New York. And I'm like, yeah, Mom, what, you think I melt? I'm not the Wicked Witch of the West. I don't melt in the rain. Everything's fine. Mom is so weird sometimes. I saw the rain in New York. I wanted to make sure you're okay. Yeah, it wasn't a biblical flood. Right. It just rained. So I switch between those two because Regime Change is also a fascinating look at human behavior, I think, in this one particular human, which we all pay attention to his human behavior and how it is perceivably affecting us. And that's so weird that this one human has captured all of our attentions in a way that just moves us back and forth, left and right, all over the place based on what the next thing that he does is. And certainly, I think do no harm doesn't apply to Donald Trump.
No, I don't know if he's got that button.
No, absolutely not. Did you hear that he's thinking about rescinding Todd Blanche's nomination for the Attorney General because Todd Blanche cannot get confirmed because he refuses to put into writing that he will not make a slush fund for January 6th rioters and he will not essentially put a piece of paper out there on behalf of the DOJ that says that they will never go after Donald Trump, any of his family mm-hmm. members, or anybody for anything they've done wrong. It's just like, how much more corrupt can you get? And he won't put it in writing. He says it out loud, but he won't put it in writing. Why? Because he knows goddamn well that he won't do that, because as soon as everybody's not looking, he's going to create the slush fund and yes, sign the piece of paper.
Exactly.
And so this is just like, it's really wild how corrupt our federal government is right now.
And
Donald Trump and his family. Mm-hmm. And so whether you like the guy or believe in what he does or doesn't do, and you know, agree with his policies or I don't even know what policies he, I don't even know what his policy making is.
I don't know that he knows.
He doesn't. He's just so fucking corrupt. And did you see that trial with Anthony Fauci yesterday?
I didn't watch it, but I've read about it. It's just, that's awful. Leave the guy alone.
Here's the thing. They got his diary, and they scanned his diary.
Diary.
His diary. Yeah, first of all, what grown man has a diary?
I'm also had to
Dear
get a hold of it.
Diary. Yeah, and who gets a hold of it? How do you? Because they subpoenaed all records and all conversations about the pandemic. And he gave them the diary, or that he had a diary, and they got it, which is just wild to think about, a grown man having a diary. And it really is a dear diary. It's like, dear diary. He's writing all his thoughts down. I have to say that some of the stuff in the diary, even though we're reading a man's personal thoughts, okay, it's out there. Let's, you know, read it. It's newsworthy. I do have to say that some of the things that Fauci was thinking about at the time are a little odd. And what do I mean by that? There are specific pages and phrases where he is sharing that he is enjoying, his access to fame. And he's talking about how he might be the most famous person on earth right now, that more people know his name than know Michael Jackson's name or whatever. And he's sharing that it's odd, but that he's enjoying meeting some of these celebrities. He's being invited to parties that he never got invited to. But who wouldn't be enamored by instant fame like that? He was the most famous person.
He was.
Because we were all looking to him to say some things about the pandemic that made us feel better, one way or the other. Or a lot of people were looking at him and saying he's lying. Here's the thing that I believe. If yesterday had been taken with any degree of seriousness and not a witch hunt to essentially literally put somebody in jail or crucify them for the decisions they made as the head scientist during an unprecedented health crisis. If they had taken this with any degree of seriousness and asked questions that really needed to be answered, should we have closed schools? Did masking in hindsight help? Should we have national lockdowns? Does that help avoid the spread of future pandemics that may include this coronavirus? Where did the coronavirus come from? Still never been answered. Where did it come from? What are your thoughts now? If we had asked serious questions, then Anthony Fauci would have felt, I think, compelled to answer in a way that would have given us information that was useful in the future.
Yeah, well, they already tried that with him. I mean, he's been up in these panels.
Of course.
Forever.
Yes. But and he should go up on these panels many more times to answer these questions so that we can get to the bottom of what happened.
Right. But and, instead, they're asking stupid questions.
They're asking stupid questions. Yeah. Did you kill my mother? Because, you should be in jail. It's an absolute kabuki theater of epically crazy proportions. Anthony Fauci made a lot of mistakes, but so did Donald Trump. And so did the administration. Mm-hmm. And so did many people along the way. Why? Because when you're in the middle of a fucking house fire, you're just trying to get out of the window.
Yep.
And if you step on the dog on the way out of the window, you can be forgiven because you didn't know the goddamn dog was there. Mm-hmm. And you didn't mean to hurt it. You just did. That's the way these things go down. But instead, the Republicans, including that fucking Rand Paul, that's a goddamn insane human being. Sometimes he sounds sane, and most of the time he sounds insane. And Tom Tillis and all these other fucknuts are up there making this a show trial for the conspiracy wing of the right in this country. And it is too little, too late to make any difference. It's too little, too late. You constantly go back to the same fucking well. The election was stolen. COVID was a sham. Ivermectin was for horses, but it should have been for humans. Fuck you. try taking Delta out of LaGuardia and then see what real inconvenience is. Fuckers. Drives me crazy,
it's crazy.
Drives me crazy.
I know.
We needed real information. And the reason why the guy pleaded the fifth yesterday is because he's so goddamn afraid you're going to find a way to put him in jail for the rest of his life.
Any little thing he could say.
That's right. Anything he says, he will be taken to task for it. And this isn't over. I guarantee that the DOJ, led by Donald Trump's personal attorney and Donald Trump's little penis, will find a way to get hurt because Anthony Fauci said something he doesn't like. Anthony Fauci, by the way, was Donald Trump's head scientist. Mm-hmm. And Trump was telling us to inject ourselves with bleach and take sun lamps and swallow them. I mean, come on. Anthony Fauci didn't do any worse. This is insane. It's insane. We need these people to talk to us. And by making this a fucking witch trial, no one's going to say anything useful. And that's the part that sucks, is that we really need Fauci to look at his choices and say these were right and these were wrong without fear that he's going to go to jail.
Yes.
So that he can inform future administrations on how to handle these things better. Children shouldn't have been taken out of school. It's 100% a fact. They understand that masking probably wasn't the best thing. All this other stuff. But we learned this 6 years later. Mm-hmm. It's not like we knew it
hindsight's
in the moment.
2020.
Of course it is, Chrissy. Mm-hmm. It's not like Anthony Fauci owned a mask company and he was making $1 billion off of it, right?
I can't believe that Trump didn't think of that.
Oh, Trump thought of it second term. Back on. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back. We'll talk about something more
light
when we get back. Like Jared Leto. All right, we'll be back. Ooh, do you hear about that? Oh, terrible.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire Commercial Break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you can make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of The Commercial Break.
In a BBC exclusive, Jared Leto has been, by an investigative series by the BBC, Jared Leto has been accused by 10 separate women.
Oh, 10? Ten. Gosh, I read something where it was 4,
ten.
But either way.
Well, 4 have accused him of underage assault, essentially,
God.
Right? And there's certain words I don't want to say here because I'm going to get blocked by YouTube and stuff like that, but certain women have accused Jared Leto, 10 of them, of some kind of impropriety, sexual impropriety. Many of them underage at the time. He was like 30. We forget, Jared Leto's like 57 years old.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he looks like he's 12, but
he's
really not. He's very, I'd say he's very old, so am I then. I mean, but Jared Leto, you know, he really didn't start getting fame until into his 30s. And he also had this band, 30 Seconds to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
So these women went on record with the BBC, some of them by name, went on record and explained what happened when Jared Leto was in his 30s and 40s, that he would often be in proximity because of his band or because of his relationship with modeling agencies, would be in proximity to very young women. We're talking as some as young as 14 years old. Mm. And that he would absolutely be inappropriate with them, if not also physically assaulting them or physically being involved with them sexually, when clearly that you just don't have the capacity at that age to overcome the fact that there's this superstar in their bedroom or in their hotel room or whatever. I mean,
right.
You just don't have the brain to handle that, right? Your brain literally explodes. Oh my God, Jared Leto's right in front of me. And he's attracted to me, and he wants to do this with me. But some of these women are clear that it was assault. They were not willing participants in what happened. And so I will share now a personal story that kind of brings this all around. I was also assaulted by
Jared. Yeah, I was going to say, you were caught in a bedroom with Jared Leto.
That's right. I had a friend that worked in the modeling industry. She was an executive in the modeling industry. Mm-hmm. I also dated a girl one time who had a brother, who had two brothers. The brothers were young. They were teenagers. They were like in high school. They got, I mean, absolutely enthralled. They were like in a cult about 30 Seconds to Mars. A few albums that they put, these concept albums that 30 Seconds to Mars put together. There was like this whole, these guys lived down in Tampa. There was this whole like pack of friends of theirs that really felt like 30 Seconds to Mars was saying something super deep. And they were like super wrapped up in the 30 Seconds to Mars.
They were Mars heads.
They were Mars heads. They were Mars bars. That's right. Mars bars. They were Mars bars. They just loved it. In a conversation, separate conversation with my friend who worked in the modeling business, and I'm not going to name names and I'm not going to say which modeling agency. My mom is literally calling me, and what she needs is clothes. Okay, Mom, got it. she needs some new clothes. It's not an emergency. We'll deal with it later. If I thought it was an emergency, I'd answer the phone. But in a separate conversation with my friend who worked in the modeling business, I was explaining to her how I didn't know, but Jared Leto has this band, 30 Seconds to Mars, and these kids are like, I don't have my finger on the pulse because these kids are like in love with 30 Seconds to Mars. And I had listened to some of their music based on these conversations I had with these brothers of this girl I was dating. And her eyes lit up, like not in a good way. And she was like, Jared Leto is one of the creepiest guys that I know in the entire entertainment business.
That's saying something, too.
That's saying something, because she met a lot of creepy guys. Mm-hmm. And she was, like, in the heart of darkness when it came to the modeling agencies. She always said it's a terrible business where a lot of terrible things happen. And I don't think she was actively participating in those terrible things, but I actually know she wasn't. But she just had this insider's view of the modeling business and how terrible it was, and how people like Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein and cronies like that really took advantage of the model.
Preyed
on models because they were fed the models by the modeling business. There was no protection, no layer of protection for these extremely young men and women.
Yeah.
So she one night shared with me that Jared had close connections with the modeling agency that she worked for, and that it had been no secret inside of the modeling business that Jared was fond of and often asked for close proximity to very young models, and that my friend felt very protective of some of these models and would try and dissuade them, even though Jared was very famous. And she said, sometimes it's hard to dissuade someone from access to fame. Mm-hmm. They want to be famous themselves.
Yep.
They think this is their way to get there. They think proximity to fame also means fame, and it doesn't. It often means a situation where the power imbalance is crazy. So I had heard rumors about Jared Leto many years ago. Mm-hmm. Now, I have no direct knowledge of anything that happened. I want to make that clear. Don't come knocking on my door. I don't know. It's just rumor and innuendo. But rumor and innuendo often follow things that are true. And Jared has been talked about in this way for a long time inside the business. And it's hard to believe that he's had so much success even after all of these things came out. The BBC investigation found hundreds of claims on the internet, on Reddit posts, on Instagram.
Why has he not been arrested or investigated?
I have no earthly idea why. It's just like Russell Brand and like all of these men mainly who have this power, wealth, and fame, and they take advantage of it.
Weinstein
got away with it for 40 fucking years. Some of the most famous people on earth. Mm-hmm. This is gotta change. I think the Me Too movement went way too far and captured a whole bunch of people up in the ropes that probably didn't deserve to be captured. They were just not using their brain, or said something inappropriate at an inappropriate time, or made an innuendo that shouldn't have been made of. Listen, okay, we can forgive someone for that. Like, everyone makes mistakes. You don't need to be canceled for the rest of your life because you made an offhanded comment about how nice someone's skirt was or whatever.
Or you jacked off in a tree.
You jacked off in a tree. Who doesn't jack off on trees? And listen, Louis C.K.
The whacking tree.
Yeah, going down to the whacking tree with Louis C.K. We're going to jack off in trees together.
Yeah, so he's got a new special.
He does. Like, he's back, baby. Okay. He's back, baby. Listen, you know, even Louis C.K., I'm not defending his actions, but whacking off in front of people is just a weird, like, fetish is what it is, right? I don't know, but I think there were some people that claimed that he did that without their consent. That clearly is wrong.
Yes.
But if it was just that, can I whack off in front of you?
Well, then consenting is one thing.
Yeah, but consenting is one thing. Yeah. Not consenting, not cool. Not cool. But this Jared Leto thing takes it to a whole nother level. I mean, just takes it to a whole nother level. It's just a power imbalance. And these men mainly who get away with this should be taken to task.
Yes.
They really should. Jared Leto should never star in a movie again, period, end of sentence. It's all terrible. Jared has just been a real, and then they like put clips of things that he said in interviews and like, he's just, do you remember there was like a Vice magazine, American Apparel photographer, weird guy with the mustache, can't remember his name now, but there was a guy that was taking American Apparel photos mainly, and sometimes for Vice magazine, of nude young women. Mm-hmm. And when I say young, 17, 18, 19 years old, it's not illegal to take nude photographs of anybody as long as they're not sexual in nature. But he was certainly pushing the envelope. And
yeah, there was a whole documentary on that.
Yeah. And he got excommunicated. He got canceled, as he should have. That guy was a real fucking creep. Jared Leto was best friends with him even after this guy got taken to task. And Jared said some things about his friendship with this guy in interviews that clearly indicate that Jared not only knew about it, was okay with it, and encouraged it. Like, Jared is just a fucking creep. And now he just announced that 30 Seconds to Mars, like a couple months ago, 30 Seconds to Mars is going to go on a new tour in 2027. He's a 56-year-old dickhead. Let's not encourage 30 Seconds to Mars to do anything. The guy has enough wealth and fame. Let's leave him alone. Honestly, it's like Cosby-esque. The guy is, after I heard this investigation, coupled with the information that I know from my own personal life, I think it's time to cancel Jared. That's another Jared down the drain.
I'm good with that. I was never a 30 Seconds to Mars huge fan.
No, me neither. Nor was I a fan of the Jared guy from Subway. I always felt like something was wrong with that guy. God. I always thought that was weird. It was like a weird set of series. Why was Jared all of a sudden like world famous for losing?
I know. I guess he was, he actually ate the Subways and lost it. And then they made him the spokesperson or something. Okay.
All right. I cannot.
So weird.
I should be a spokesperson for the half and half companies, for the cream companies.
Could.
Yes.
Cream.
That's all I eat.
Cereal and cream.
Cereal and cream and hot dogs.
I told you there's a food truck that's cereal and cream.
I know. I'm so excited.
I've seen it around town.
They have a restaurant in New York, too. It's like a cereal restaurant. That's all it serves. It's just cereal. You just go and you pick your cereal.
For $20.
$80, probably. Yeah. Part of town I'm in, $80. Yeah. A hamburger there is $27. The two slices of pizza, $32. Now, those slices of pizza are outrageously good, but
They are. Oh, man. You got to check that one place out.
Which one?
The one that I've sent you that's got named the best pizza place in
Lombardi's.
America.
Was it Lombardi's?
I can't remember. Okay. It was closed for a little while because they were on vacation in Italy, but.
Oh, yeah. No. I know that place. I have it on my list of places to go. I have like a little list of places and then I end up going to the same two places every time. I get comfortable with food and then I can't get away from it. All right, Chrissy and I will be right back. We're going to come back and do another episode. So if you're hanging in there, I don't think I pressed YouTube. Sorry. Okay. Whatever. If you're watching us on Twitch, we'll be back on the stream and then, and we'll be back tomorrow with more
shenanigans
and good news.
Now that you're home.
More stuff to light bright up your day. Yeah, that's right. Now that I'm home.
Yes.
Honestly, if I had my druthers, I would skip New York next week.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have PTSD now.
I know, I bet.
Yeah. I don't want to go through that again. That was wild. Just wild. No flights till Saturday.
Why don't you just start flying home on Wednesday morning? Like, first thing Wednesday morning.
I don't know.
I think that might be something.
Well, I like to fly in on Tuesday night because then I get a night's sleep here and I'm ready to run. I know,
yeah,
that's
this
true.
This is not happening.
That's true. I'm not really getting a good night's sleep here in Atlanta. Maybe I should try and take a little earlier flight.
Out.
Yeah.
Take the first flight out on Wednesday morning, get home, take a nap. I come over, we record.
Yeah. You might be right about that. Yeah. Okay. Let me chew on that.
Okay.
That might be a good idea. That might be a better idea than sitting in LaGuardia every Tuesday night for days
on
end.
As long as you've been doing this,
I've never had a nighttime flight.
Yeah.
Never.
It's not been
once.
Working out.
Nope.
So.
Never not once had a nighttime flight. And I knew that it was likely I would have a cancellation, a travel drama. Well, when you fly as much as I do, there's going to be a travel drama somewhere. I just didn't realize it was going to be so epic.
Yeah.
I thought cancellation booked in the morning.
Right.
That's what I thought. And I was prepared to handle that on Tuesday night. I was prepared to say, okay, got to go get a couple hours of sleep and then come back in the morning and fly.
Mm-hmm.
But when they said Saturday, I was like, Saturday? But it's understandable. If 180,000 flights are canceled throughout the New York area, they're just filling
exactly the
five empty seats they
supply
have.
Supply and demand.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's all you can do. And it's not like they're going to start adding a bunch of flights. They don't do that. That's not how it works. They just charge more for the seats they have.
Not like adding show times to the Odyssey, which we got to talk about that.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about it. We'll talk about it in a few minutes. YouTube.com/TheCommercialBreak at The Commercial Break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok. Okay, Chrissy, I guess that's all I can do for this moment.
I think so.
Call my mom back.
Yes,
and then...
please call your mom back. I love you.
Right, best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say and we must say,
goodbye. Goodbye.